The scripture lesson comes to us from the first chapter of John, beginning at the first verse. Listen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On a night such as this, sometimes we open the Bible to hear what we have always heard. So the Gospel of Luke is opened, and the story of the birth of Jesus is released into the air. We expect that. We depend on that. This is not any other evening. This is the festival of the Incarnation. And sometimes we open the Bible and an unexpected star begins to shine. Perhaps it is the darkness of our circumstance that sharpens our vision or opens our hearts. In any case, that's what happened to me. I opened the first chapter of John's Gospel and the good news is right there. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Let's affirm how shining the light is a daring thing to do. The year that I began my ministry, the government of South Africa banned many of the Christmas celebrations in that country. The nation was in turmoil, and the authorities worried about an outbreak of joy. So joy to the world was squelched. Silent night was silenced. All the faithful were told not to come, but rather stay home. And not only did the authorities declare that the songs were too emotional, the gatherings were too dangerous, but that the candles had become revolutionary symbols. That's a direct quote. Candles were revolutionary symbols. And in spite of the crackdown, the songs may have been silenced, the gatherings dispersed, but the candles were lit. You and I are living through a different kind of crisis these days. It is a crisis with multiple layers, and the most obvious is the international virus that rages out of control. Tonight is not the time for us to fuss about public health restrictions, especially if they are reasonable ways to protect our families and to love our neighbors. No, tonight is the night to shine the light. John sings these Christmas words at the beginning of his gospel story. With this extraordinary poem, he states the best way to understand the coming of Jesus into the world is as light coming into darkness. Darkness? Oh, we know the darkness is real. Darkness lurks in the crevices of the soul. Darkness stirs in the shadows of every human assembly. Darkness is irrational evil that destroys life. Darkness lies behind our willful desire to refuse kindness and to reject what is true. When God created the heavens and the earth, there was darkness. It was in the shapeless void of what God did not create. Then God said, "Let there be light." Light reveals what the darkness wishes to hide. Light illumines what we've been ignoring in the shadows. Light inspires the telling of truth and the cultivation of life. And every day, darkness shouts, "Turn out those lights. Don't let the secrets be told. Don't let the truth be revealed. Don't let the destructive impulses be seen." And in spite of it all, the light comes. God announces light. God sends light. And this, of course, is what sets up the great conflict of creation. Now, we know the story of Jesus. He did not stay as a child in the manger. He grew up. He was instructed in the love and the justice of God. He opened human minds and cured human illnesses and healed broken human hearts and rebuilt human communities. Precisely because he was so good at shining the light, the darkness tried to snuff him out. In the language of John's poem, to overcome him. And that worked until the darkness was cracked open. You know, I never noticed how John mixes up his tenses. Most of this long poem in the first chapter is in the past tense. The darkness did not overcome it. That's past tense, an historical event. God's good news comes in the present tense. The light shines in the darkness. That is a resurrection reality. John sings of resurrection and crucifixion in the same sentence, and in so doing, he holds together two important truths. The first is that the darkness has not yet gone away. Surely this is why the world behaves as it does. There is ignorance and foolishness in a world that resists illumination. There is mistrust and mistreatment in a world addicted to fear. There is hostility and abuse in a world ashamed of its own shame. The darkness is real. And so John will say, this is the crisis, the great crisis. That the light has come into the world and the people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Yet the second truth is that the light has come. Or as our very next Christmas carol declares, the Lord is come. The light is here. The light had been extinguished on the cross of Jesus, but it will not go out again. And the light shines now and invites us out of the shadows, away from the ways of death, to live abundantly and to shine as brightly as God empowers us. This is why a true observance of Christmas always has an edge to it. For the light is defying the darkness. As G.K. Chesterton once said of a North American or Northern European Christmas, a religion that defies the world should have a feast that defies the weather. You have heard it said, the weather outside is frightening, and I tell you, if you're from some distance from us tonight, the weather outside is truly frightening. But I also say to you, Jesus Christ is born, and he lives. Oh, he lives. And that's why we offer a Christmas Eve service to you. We can't gather as a crowd this year. Only a few of us can safely come to witness to the joy and peace which is offered to all. This is our way to affirm that God comes in spite of the darkness, that Jesus is born regardless of who sits upon the world's cardboard throne. And the Spirit of God has the freedom to reach all of us without the constraints of an international pandemic. We gather, we sing, we celebrate, wherever we are, to declare what the scriptures testify, that we are all precious enough for God to be rescued by him, that we are all honored enough by Jesus for him to be birthed to live among us, that we are all sufficiently available to God's Spirit that our own spirits can be enlivened and we can be empowered by the music from heaven, far greater than our own. Trust the good news wherever you are. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Let the good word sink into your soul and rejoice. Merry Christmas.